Folks, welcome to the Basketball Podcast. We have a very, very, very serious episode planned for today. This is the most serious podcast out there, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. I've been gone for a month and a half. I don't have a good excuse. I just kind of quit podcasting for a little bit, but it's okay. I'm back. I'm here to talk about NBA basketball. I know you've missed me, and I've missed you as well. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the NBA Finals. We're going to be talking about Kevin Durant's injury. We're going to be talking about Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors. We're going to talk a little bit about the Conference Finals as well, because I haven't talked about the playoffs yet. And of course, we need to do an NBA draft preview. Possibly we'll talk about the Lakers. We'll see if we can get to it. We've got a jam-packed agenda in this episode. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Basketball Podcast. So we're going to jump right into discussing my top five moments from the playoffs so far. I'm not going to do a playoff review. That's silly. We're in the finals. We're going to focus on talking about the finals, okay? But I do need to just catch up. We got to talk about some of the great moments from this playoff season that may have already have been forgotten. So the top five playoff moments that I observed, and I've got a couple honorable mentions as well. Top five. Number five, Damian Lillard's shot to beat the Thunder in the first round series in the semifinals, and his baby wave. He wasn't waving to them like a grown man, like, see you tomorrow, or enjoy your summer. Like, he was waving to them like they were toddlers. And I loved that. It was excellent. Very petty. I very much enjoyed that. And it was an incredible shot. It was amazing. From like 40 feet, it was an amazing shot. Number five, Dame shot to beat the Thunder and his toddler wave to them. Number four was definitely Kawhi Leonard's Game 7 buzzer beater. That's a top five. These aren't necessarily, like, these are just my five favorite. Like, I don't want to say one was better than the other, so I'm just giving five favorites. Let's just put it that way. But another one, the second one in the five playoff moments I enjoyed, was Kawhi's Game 7 buzzer beater. Not just because it was the first Game 7 buzzer beater ever, but because it was Kawhi Leonard who did it. And afterwards, like, not that I love Kawhi, but what I love about it is because it was Kawhi, he let out this, like, velociraptor scream. Like, the first time we've ever seen him show true emotion. It was excellent to see. It was awkward to see. But it was a great shot. It was cool because it was the first Game 7 buzzer beater we've ever had in the NBA playoffs. So, congratulations to Kawhi on that historic feat. My third favorite moment goes right along with that Game 7 buzzer beater. It was Joel Embiid ugly crying after Game 7. I'm not the type of fan that enjoys, how do I put this? I don't enjoy seeing other people lose necessarily. Like, I feel bad for Joel Embiid because I understand how much he wanted to win. But Joel Embiid has an incredibly large mouth. He has an incredibly large mouth, and he likes to run said mouth. So for him to kind of get his was darkly satisfying. I feel bad for him, but it was also funny to see him ugly cry after that buzzer beater. Like, he was ugly crying. Joel, you're a 7-foot grown man. You shouldn't be ugly crying like that. Second favorite, or the fourth favorite, I should say, one of my other favorite moments from the playoffs was Steph's 33-piece in the second half of Game 6 in the semifinals against the Rockets, in Game 6 against the Rockets. Durant went down in Game 5, at the end of Game 5. Everyone's saying, what are they going to do? How are they going to win? Steph Curry was horrendous in the first half, but I watched that game, and I haven't watched every playoff game. Like, I don't do this for a living, so I don't watch every playoff game, but I really enjoy watching both the Rockets and the Warriors. I really did not enjoy watching that series because they both seemed to be trying to manipulate refs into making calls. It was ugly basketball to watch for a significant part of the series. But that Game 6 in that second half with Steph hitting some incredible shots in clutch moments. I'm not a Steph Curry fan. Let me just clarify. Like, I'm not a fan of either team. I don't necessarily root for either team, but that was amazing to watch. It was just incredible to watch from a basketball standpoint. how effortlessly he was able to drill those threes with someone in his face. That was possibly one of the greatest playoff performances I've ever witnessed. I haven't seen them all. I understand that there have been better ones before, but it was an incredible, incredible moment to witness. So that was one of my favorite moments just to watch and observe. And then my favorite, this one is my favorite. This is definitively my favorite moment. The other four, you can put those in whatever order you want. But this one is my favorite moment from the playoffs so far. And it is the number one moment from the playoffs this year, from the 2019 playoffs, was Kyrie Irving self-destructing on the Boston Celtics. Kyrie Irving, the savior for the Boston Celtics. He's going to lead them to a championship. They trade Isaiah Thomas. They trade the godsend Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie. It was a good trade. I'm not arguing against the trade. But Kyrie is their guy. Kyrie is their leader now. They're going to get Anthony Davis too. Look at all of these assets they're going to get. Kyrie is going to lead them to a championship. This is his first year in the playoffs with the Celtics. Because remember, he was injured last year. He had a torn meniscus. He's going to lead them to the finals. They're the team to fear. Yeah, we've been talking a lot about the Raptors. Yeah, the Bucks had the best regular season record. Yeah, the 76ers have really added some talent this particular season. But the Celtics are who needs to be feared because they have NBA champion Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie, we all know Kyrie's drama that he brought through the regular season. These young guys aren't stepping up. These young guys aren't getting it done. He enjoys Marcus Smart because he's a veteran. Jaylen Brown is not a veteran. Jason Tatum's not a veteran. Gordon Hayward isn't playing like a veteran. We've all heard the nonsense that has been spewed from Kyrie's mouth. Kyrie is going to, he is going to lead them to the conference finals, potentially to the NBA finals, because he's that good. He's that confident. And what does he do? He shoots like 25% against the Bucks, and he single-handedly destroys their chances. He self-destructed in the semifinals in the Eastern Conference. And I live for that. I live for that. He's a turd. You heard it here first. You heard it here first, folks. Kyrie Irving is a bona fide turd with a capital T. He's a capital T turd. It's good for the Celtics that he's self-destructed because he's going to leave. And they should want him to leave. After all the drama that he brought into the locker room this year, and then with how poorly he performed in the playoffs, they shouldn't want him. Move on from Kyrie. Let him walk. So it's good for them. It's also just kind of funny in general because of just how terrible he was from a leadership perspective throughout the season in terms of motivating, in terms of encouraging. Like, just a capital T turd. Kyrie turd Irving. Kyrie turd Irving. You heard it here first. You heard it here first, folks! I'll get that down at some point. Honorable mentions. Here we go. These are the ones that just didn't quite make the cut. We have to mention, we talked about Dame's shot to beat the Thunder in the quarterfinals. We got to also mention, he did drop 50 points in that game as well. I think it was that game. He dropped 50 points in that game. Incredible. Kevin Durant dropped 50 at some point in the playoffs too. I can't remember who it was against. I think it was in the first round. So the significant scoring number, it's impressive, especially in that series clinching type environment. Those are the types of moments that players live for, of course. Those are the moments that are really exciting to watch as a fan, to see those incredibly high scoring games with a player who really stands out and scores a high number like that. 50 points is in the playoffs is awesome. And Dame is, he's a great scorer. He really is. So it's fun to watch him get his and watch him score 50 points and beat a team, win a series like he's done before, win a series on a game-winning shot. Another honorable mention, Pat Beverly, just in general, just him in the playoffs. I love Pat Beverly in the playoffs. He is a jerk. Patrick Beverly is a jerk, and I enjoy watching it. He loves to try to get into people's heads. He's a great defender. He really is a great defender. He's an incredibly aggressive defender, and he really toes the line between aggressiveness and just blatant fouling. But I appreciate his game. I appreciate that he is on an NBA team and that someone is continuing to give him money to go out there and hit guys and just disrupt play. I enjoy it. So kudos to him. I hope that the Clippers continue to make the playoffs. I hope that he continues to be in the playoffs because I enjoy watching him on defense, especially in the playoffs. That's when the court shrinks. It's when it slows down a little bit. It's when defense gets more important. So to watch a guy, a defensive specialist like Pat Beverly in the playoffs, it's a treat. And then, but I'm a little disappointed. This is my last one. I'm a little disappointed I didn't put this one in the top five, but we need to just say this. We need to go ahead and get this out there. DJ Augustin hit a game-winning shot in a playoff series on the road against the Toronto Raptors. The Orlando Magic won a playoff game. That's an honorable mention. The Magic have been horrendous for so long. Basically, since Dwight Howard got traded, they've been bad. They have mismanaged their roster. They have mismanaged their front office. They have mismanaged the NBA draft. And they finally won a playoff game. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to the Orlando Magic. And congratulations to DJ Augustin. He hit a game-winning shot in a playoff series. DJ Augustin did. Not Steph Curry. Not Kyrie Irving. Well, of course not Kyrie Irving. We just talked about that. DJ Augustin hit a game-winning shot on the road in a clutch situation. I love it. I live for that. I want underdogs to win every time. I always want the underdog to win. Congratulations to them. It's not going to lead to any momentum. It's just a great little side note that the Magic actually won a playoff game. It's going to be a blip. It's an outlier in their forecast because they're going to be horrendously bad for the foreseeable future. They're going to be bad. They were bad this year. They just had a good stretch at the end of the year that snuck them into the playoffs. This will be a blip on the long-term forecast for this team, but it's a great blip to have lived. It is a great blip to have lived. That's it for the playoffs. Let's jump into talk NBA draft real quick. This section will be quick. I just want to talk about a couple of things, and the first one is this. I'm excited for New Orleans to have the number one overall pick. With everything that organization has had to go through for the past year, and not just the organization, because I understand it's a business. So I don't like have empathy necessarily for the millionaire owner who's still going to be, you know, she's still going to be making a ton of money. She also owns the Saints, by the way. So she's okay. She'll be all right. But I feel for that fan base, that maybe small fan base in the city of New Orleans. The Saints are the darling of New Orleans. Let's get that straight. The Saints are the darlings of New Orleans. They won the Super Bowl in 2009, with everything that happened to them in 2006 with Hurricane Katrina, significant accomplishment. They're the darlings. Drew Brees is the face of New Orleans from an athletics perspective. So I understand Anthony Davis doesn't want to be there, but also, Anthony, you signed a 5-year contract. So that there's that. I'm happy for them to have the number one overall pick. I'm happy for them to potentially draft Zion, and if I was talking to Zion, I would say, Zion, New Orleans is a great city. Smoothie King Arena, from what I understand, I've never been there, could use some upgrades. David Griffin is supposedly going to be a good GM for them, based on what I've kind of read already. Like, he's already trying to do some things that should be done for that program, like updating facilities, updating practice facilities. I think that it's a good step for them. I think Alvin Gentry is a good coach. I think that they've got some good players. They traded away part of their roster this past season. But if I was talking to Zion, I would say, Zion, New Orleans is a great city. Enjoy your time there as a rookie. And then if you don't want to play there after 4 years, go wherever you want because people will want you. That's what I would say. I'm happy for them. That was my first point. My second point is this. The Los Angeles Lakers need to freaking get it together. These guys are crazy. All right, Rob Pelinka, when he found out he had the fourth pick, he lost his mind. He was so ecstatic. And it got me thinking, have there ever been fourth picks that really panned out? There have been. Spoiler alert, they have been. I went through and looked at all the fourth round or the number four overall picks since 2000, and here they are. In 2000, Marcus Spicer. Marcus Fizer. I think it's Fizer. Fizer? I don't know. And my point is, I don't know because he didn't pan out. Sorry, Marcus. You were the number 4 overall pick in the 2000 draft. That's better than I will ever do. But still, I don't know if your name is Fizer or Fizer. I'll have to do a Google search for that. I'll have to Google it and figure out. 2001, Eddie Curry. Edward Curry was drafted in 2001. He didn't pan out either. 2002, Drew Gooden. He was a subpar power forward for a while in the NBA. 2003, Chris Bosh, Hall of Famer. 2004, Sean Livingston. Excellent player for a couple of years. Tore his knee. Came back doing really well for the Warriors. Very good player. So I'll give him, that's a plus. That's a good one. But he's kind of an outlier anyways. 2005, Chris Paul, Hall of Famer. 2006, Tyrus Thomas. Nope, he's not here anymore. 2007, Mike Conley, a good player. That's it. That's the end of the statement. A good player. 2008, Russell Westbrook, a Hall of Famer. 2009, Tyreke Evans. We won't talk about that right now. 2010, Wesley Johnson. He's best known for having an ankle broken by James Harden. 2011, Tristan Thompson. He's best known for breaking hearts with the Jenner girls. 2012, Dion Waiters. I don't know what he's known. He's known for a lot of things. 2013, Cody Zeller. He's known for being the other Zeller brother. 2014, Aaron Gordon. 2015, Kristaps Porzingis. 2016, Dragan Bender. 2017, Josh Jackson. 2018, Jaren Jackson Jr. I'll give everyone from 2014 on a little bit of grace because we just don't really know exactly how they're going to pan out. We have an idea. Like Aaron Gordon is 5 years into the league, going to be 6. He's not really that great yet. Kristaps was really good but keeps getting hurt. Dragan Bender hasn't been good. Hasn't been given a whole lot of opportunity. Josh Jackson has been horrendous. And he got arrested on Mother's Day weekend in Miami. We're not going to talk about that, but I really want to talk about that. 2018, Jaren Jackson Jr. He's a rookie. We have no idea. He was okay this year. He was pretty good. My point is this. The number 4 pick is not a surefire, this is going to be a game changer. What? You could get a Russell Westbrook. You could. You could get a Russell Westbrook, or you could get a Wesley Johnson. And again, no offense to Wesley. He's still in the league. He's still on a roster. I don't know which one. I think he plays for the Clippers. He still makes millions of dollars, and I don't. But it's not a surefire win when you get the number 4 overall pick. Sometimes you get a Russell Westbrook. Sometimes you get a Chris Paul. Sometimes you get a Chris Bosh. Other times you get a Wesley Johnson, a Marcus Fizer, or a Cody Zeller. That's it for the draft. Let's talk about the finals really quick. So let's talk about the NBA Finals. The most important thing that you need to hear from this whole segment is this. I'm just going to get it out of the way right now. Drake. The rapper Drake. The fact that I'm even talking about the rapper Drake in the basketball podcast drives me crazy. But we need to... This needs to be said. And you heard it here first, folks. The rapper Drake is as obnoxious as LeVar Ball. That's right. Drake is the new LeVar Ball. And I do not enjoy it. I don't enjoy Drake in general. I enjoyed his album, Nothing Was the Same. That was about it. And you know what? Nothing is the same anymore. Because Drake is basically LeVar Ball. And it drives me crazy. He wore a Del Curry throwback jersey. What kind of a Raptors fan wears that? We all know why he wore it. It's because, well, that was Steph's dad. Oh. You're rooting for Del Curry. Del Curry doesn't play for them anymore. Wear a Kyle Lowry jersey, you turd. He's also a turd. You heard it here first, folks. Drake is a turd. He and Kyrie are both capital T turds. I'm tired of seeing Drake on the sidelines. I'm tired of even talking about Drake. Drake is as obnoxious as LeVar Ball, and I find myself rooting against the Toronto Raptors solely because I want to see Drake cry. But also, I think that if the Raptors lose, Drake might have some emotion that he really needs to get out. He might put that into a song. We'll see. It could be beneficial for all of us if the Raptors lose. Just saying.
I don't really enjoy Drake that much from a musical standpoint, but
regardless. He's as annoying as LeVar Ball. That's the most important thing you can hear from this whole segment. The other thought that we've had in the basketball podcast is, how important is Kevin Durant? How important is Kevin Durant to the Warriors? We all know the statistics that the Warriors are like, they've won 33 or 32 out of 34 games when Steph has played and when Kevin Durant hasn't played. And that's very impressive. That's not very good for Kevin's stats, right? Because it kind of shows, well, Kevin, actually, we can win without you. Maybe. How much do they really need Kevin Durant? Does Kevin Durant actually hurt their style of basketball? I will say this. I think Kevin Durant is one of the best players in the NBA. I don't think that Kevin Durant hurts their style of basketball. I think that their style of basketball is slightly different when Kevin Durant isn't out there. You could argue that Kevin Durant might be a slight liability on defense. He's not really. He's incredibly tall. He can rebound. Maybe Steph, maybe Klay feel a little more free when Kevin Durant isn't out there. Maybe Draymond feels a little bit more free to kind of run and to create without Kevin Durant out there. But I'm not going to argue either way that Kevin Durant hurts nor that he helps the Warriors. It's just kind of different with him out there. One of their assistant coaches said something in an article that I read about how he's basically a walking bucket. In defenses, there's no real scheme that you can create against him. Like, he's either going to hit the shot or he's going to miss the shot. It doesn't necessarily matter what the defense does. But what I will say is, I think from a player perspective and from just a mentality on the basketball court, a confidence on the basketball court, I think that Steph, Klay, I think that all the Warriors honestly probably have a little bit more confidence and a little bit more maybe freedom to shoot at will. Because with them, now no shot is a bad shot. When KD is out there, there are some shots that are bad shots because, well, you could always just dump it down to KD and he could get you a turnaround 15-footer. That's a high percentage shot for him. I see Klay shooting some obnoxiously difficult shots, and he's hit a few of them. But I think to myself, would they be able to do that? Would he have the confidence to do that if KD was actually out there? I don't know the answer to it. All I'll say is this. Kevin Durant is one of the best players in the league. I don't believe that the Warriors regret having him on their team because they've won two championships the last 2 years with him, and he's been finals MVP both times. I think the matchup with the Toronto Raptors doesn't necessarily require him to be out there for them to win, but I think that if he was out there, they would have an easier time winning. That's all I'll say. I do disagree with the statement that the Warriors are better without him. He's one of the best players in the league. It would be nice to see him out there. The one thought that I have had about the finals so far is this. It kind of feels a little bit like the what was it? Was it the 2015 finals, 2014 finals? Whichever one that Andre Iguodala won the finals MVP of. It kind of feels like that one where it's a tight finals. I think it was 2015 that he won. It's a tight finals. Both teams are doing well, but the superstars aren't really playing like superstars. So in game one, it wasn't Kawhi Leonard. It was Pascal Siakam. It was Spicy P. In game two, it wasn't Steph Curry. It was, for a while, I mean, it was Klay Thompson for most of the game until he got hurt, and then it was some of the bench guys that stepped up. Andrew Bogut had 6 points off the bench. Quinn Cook had 9 points or 11 points. Draymond had 17, 10, and 9. DeMarcus Cousins had 11. Steph had 23 or 22 points, but he shot 6 for 17. He started 1 for 7. Didn't shoot the ball well in the first half. So you don't have this, there's not this player that's carrying them. Like, the last couple of years, it's been very clear. Like, Kevin Durant will be the finals MVP because he's doing it for them. When the Cavaliers won, it was very clear that LeBron was going to be the MVP. Even before that, when it was the Miami teams and when it was San Antonio that won. And even when Dallas won, it was like, here's the superstar. They are playing at a superstar level. They will be the finals MVP so long as their team wins. But that 2015 season was that outlier where the Splash Brothers didn't get it done. They weren't shooting incredibly well. Draymond wasn't Draymond yet. Andre Iguodala stepped up, had some clutch moments, had some good offensive games, and ultimately shut down LeBron, so he won it. It kind of feels like that type of finals again, where I'm interested to see who's going to step up and actually really start to carry their team. Is it going to be a guy like Pascal Siakam? If the Raptors win, is he going to be Finals MVP? We'll wait and see. That's it for the Finals preview. I will say, Game 3 in Golden State, I'm excited to see what happens. If Golden State wins this game, my assumption is that they will go on to win the series. Because if they can get that momentum back, I would expect them to win the series. That's just my, that's my detailed prediction. Now it's time for our NBA mailbag. Only one question today in the NBA mailbag. Again, if you're interested in submitting a question, please send it to thebasketballpc@gmail.com. That's our email address. And I'll read it on air. Just send me something. Okay, here it is. Here's the question. It's not really a question. It's more of a statement. Talk about how Kawhi Leonard is more focused on suing Nike than he is on the NBA Finals. Wow. That's a loaded statement. Thank you so much for allowing me to discuss this. So, of course, if you are unfamiliar, if you haven't heard, Kawhi Leonard is suing Nike over the Claw logo that was used for his shoe brand back when he was with Nike. He's no longer with Nike. He's with New Balance. He's suing them for ownership of it because when Nike trademarked this logo, they didn't put his name on it. It's Nike's property, and so he's suing them for it. But here's an important piece of information that needs to be discussed. That's very important to the context of this. The whole reason that this got brought up is because the Los Angeles Clippers are trying to buy this logo from Nike. And then Kawhi says, well, wait, that's my logo. And then they say, no, it's not. That's how this all happened. That's how this started. The Clippers were trying to buy this logo. And I have two thoughts to this whole scenario. First of all, Los Angeles, Clippers, what the hell are you doing? Who thought it would be a good idea to buy the Claw logo in order to entice Kawhi? That's like bribery. It's like ransom. Who thought that would be a good idea? Hey, Nike has Kawhi's logo. Let's buy it. And then let's say, Kawhi, look what we have. Come play for us. It's terrible. It's an awful idea. Now, maybe they were trying to buy it so that they could give it to him. Here's your Claw logo. But that brings me to my second point. I am incredibly surprised that anyone is even fighting for this logo. Have you seen this logo? It is ugly. It's the ugliest logo I've ever seen. It's someone's hand. It's a hand. And it has Kawhi Leonard's initials into the... It's ugly! Why would you even care? If I was Nike, I would be like, take it. Take it. And if I was Kawhi, I would be like, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. That was the other Kawhi Leonard. It's the ugliest logo I may have ever seen. And there are people fighting over ownership of it. It's backwards right now, folks. If I was Kawhi, listen, Kawhi, give it up. Focus on the finals, okay? Focus on the finals. Don't worry about your Claw logo. Don't worry about the Claw logo. Oh my gosh. Google it, please. It's hideous. That's it for this episode of the Basketball Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure that you subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. I'm on Apple Podcasts. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Google Cast. I'm on Overcast. I'm on Anchor. Download Anchor. If you haven't downloaded it yet, download Anchor, please. If you haven't listened to the sponsorship at the beginning of this particular podcast episode, listen to it. It's a sponsorship for Anchor, and they give me a penny. Every time you listen to it, they give me a penny. And every time I get a penny, I can put that penny towards another episode. And then I can make more pennies. And then I can put those pennies towards another episode. And I can make more pennies. And so on and so on and so on until I finally make a quarter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the Basketball Podcast.